Today I want to talk about a subject that is certainly related to these days we've already began keeping a festival. We began last night, the Spring Festival, Passover Unleavened Bread. I'd like to talk about some items of interest, I think they're of interest, that have been in some sense controversial in certain times. Because we're talking about the sequence of events, we're talking about also relating what happened in the Old Testament to the language that is used in the New Testament. Now, I'd like to mention before starting that I realize there's a lot of sensitivity because some people out there, I've discovered in recent years, or recent months especially, do not realize, since they came from another organization, and there are so many Church of God groups out there, but some have come with us, and don't realize that we have explored some things that are a little bit different than what may be taught in other Church of God groups. So I'd like to give you that warning beforehand. Also, I know that in recent times that Bronson James has waded out into some boiling hot water, and he always forgets to gauge the temperature before he wades out there, and he winds up getting scalded. So before I get scalded, I want to tell you I have checked the temperature, and so we'll take a look at some of these things. And they're not really so much differences. Certainly nothing new here. These are things that we have said for many years, things that were said even in the Worldwide Church of God before there was a Church of God International. But it is perhaps a little different way of looking at some scriptures that some of us may be accustomed to. And I'd like to begin in Exodus 12 and talk a little bit about the Passover that was instituted back there. Some people think that what we did last night was a precise and exact continuum of what happened back there. And there's no question that what we did last night is rooted in the ancient sacrificial rite known as the Passover. But on the other hand, it's important to realize that what we did last night is not precisely the same thing. Connected, yes, but not an exact continuum, a carryover of the same thing. In Exodus chapter 12, God instructs Moses to tell the whole congregation of Israel, in verse 3, tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join in the closest neighbor in obtaining one. So they were to take this lamb. It goes on to describe how that they're to find a lamb that is without blemish, and the notes have arrived. Now I can find maybe the text that I'm looking for. But the lamb without blemish, and I hope my notes are in this Bible. Okay. Still no notes. Nevertheless, I think we can make it. They were to take a lamb without blemish. And, of course, we understand what that symbolizes. It was a type of Christ. Christ was the Lamb of God who was without blemish. And they were to keep it up until the 14th day of the month in the evening. I'd like to read particularly the text that speaks of that in the 14th day. Let me get into the book of Exodus. In this one, I've got it open in the other one. Maybe I can go back and forth between the two. But it says, on verse 6, now you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. It's talking about the month of Nisan. Today is, by the way, the 14th day. Last night began the 14th day of this first month, the month of Nisan. You shall keep it up until the 14th month of the same day, of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Now, if you're reading the King James Version, it says in the evening or at even. And the word, and I do wish I had my notes, the Hebrew term is ben ha arbaim, or something of that nature. Something like that. Ben ha arbaim, I believe, is the correct pronunciation. If not, it's probably fairly close. And what that term means is between the two evenings. Now, there's another term that is also translated at even or in the evening in the King James Version that is related to that word, has the same root. It's Ereb, E-R-E-B. And even though it's not the same, doesn't have precisely the same meaning, nevertheless, the two are related. In this case, he uses the term that is translated here, twilight, but it is between the two evenings, is what the word literally means. Now, there's been a lot of discussion and a lot of debate over the meaning of that. Some think that twilight is precisely the term that should be used. Others disagree. The Jews in the days of Jesus took this term to mean the hours between about 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock, the latter part of the day, not the beginning of the day. And so when they killed the Passover lamb, they killed it on the 14th, as it says here, in the latter part of the day. Now, this is old ground, material we've covered many times in the past. And we have accepted that that's precisely what it means. Also, I think it's important to understand it that way because the death of Christ coincides with that perfectly. He died at approximately the same time the first lamb of the Passover sacrifice would have been killed. So that's the position that we've taken for quite a number of years. And then it goes on to tell how the blood is to be put on the doorposts and lintels of the house, the flesh to be eaten, and so forth that night. And then he talks about the feast that immediately follows. He says in verse 15, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Okay, so there's the general instructions on the days of unleavened bread. Now notice what it says. 7 days. So how many days does the Feast of Unleavened Bread take in? Seven. 7 days. What does it say in Leviticus 23? Just referring to that without turning there. On the 14th day at even is the Lord's Passover. Between the two evenings, it's the Lord's Passover. The 15th day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then it says something about the 7-day feast. Then the 21st day, then, is the last day of the days of unleavened bread. And we see the same thing here. Verse 16 says, on the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. So you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, in the evening, and there's that other word, Erev, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the seventh month at evening. So if the days start on the 14th at evening, actually that's the beginning of the 15th, so you have the 15th through the 21st, 7 days. So when would the first day be? The 15th. That's what we're told in Leviticus 23. That's what we're told here. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. So there's the general instruction, and consistently in the Old Testament, that's what we see. So far, no problem, right? No problem at all. Then we go to John's Gospel in the New Testament, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And recall that, I'm sure you read the scripture last night, that this was the same night, the 14th. This is last night, in other words. If we brought this forward in our time, last night is when this was done. It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, or during supper, as some translations say, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So this was something we read last night, and this was on the same night, the 14th. You notice it says, before the feast of the Passover. And that's what we just saw in the Old Testament, isn't it? It was before the feast of the Passover. For the Passover sacrifice would not be offered until the following afternoon. So it was before the feast of the feast of the Passover. Definitely before the Feast of Tabernacles, but before the feast of the Passover. And then later on, we find that Jesus, let me move on over here to the chapter that I'll have to look for a few moments because I don't have my notes. Jesus, of course, is betrayed. He is arrested. And he's taken away. He goes before the high priest. He goes finally before Pilate. And we're told in, let's see, I believe it's chapter 18. Yes, in verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium, and it was early morning. That was this morning. Early morning on the 14th, okay? Everybody follow so far? It was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the Praetorium, lest they should be defiled. And this is talking about the chief priests, the Pharisees, and so on. But that they might eat the Passover. Okay, perfect agreement, right? Old Testament, New Testament. Here the Jews had not eaten the Passover because it would not be killed until that afternoon. Again, at about the same time that Jesus himself was put to death. So we see this perfect agreement here from old to new. Now the problem we get into is when we get into the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's important to understand that all the Gospel writers do some degree of theologizing, as it were. In other words, they take the events, the literal events that happened, and they make theological lessons out of them. And for that reason, you might find a little different use of language. But before we get to that point, let's go back to Matthew and take a look at how Matthew, what Matthew says. And I'll show you what the problem is and why many commentators have had a great struggle in trying to reconcile what Matthew says with what John says and what the Old Testament says. And some have actually come to the conclusion that they are these accounts are irreconcilable, and have said that, well, they were each giving from their different perspectives, and some of them were wrong and some of them were right. Well, let's take a look at it. I don't accept that view. I don't accept that they were wrong. I think they were all right, and I think that we can show reasons for believing that. Let's look at Matthew chapter, let's see where we want to start. In chapter 26, it says in verse 17, now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now there's some italics used in this translation, and if you leave out the italics, it would read, now on the first of unleavened bread. Now other translation, other accounts use the first day of unleavened bread, but notice this. On the first day of unleavened bread, now let's stop here. When have we determined that the first day of unleavened bread was? On the 15th, right? It wasn't on the 15th in the Old Testament. The first day of unleavened bread, a seven-day feast, 15th, the last day, the 21st. But now notice this. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? You see a problem here? If it's the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, what are they doing eating the Passover? It's already been eaten, hasn't it? If this is the 15th, wasn't it eaten the previous evening? It's a problem. It seems to be a problem. It's not a real problem, as we're going to see, but let's go on here. And he said, go into the city to a certain man, and he said to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I shall keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each one of them began to say, Lord, is it I? And so forth. We don't need to read further in the account. The point here is, well, let me drop on down here to verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it. This shows you what night this was. He took the bread, gave it to them, said, this is my body. He took the wine, said, this is my blood of the new covenant, gave it to them. What night was that? Well, he was killed on the 14th in the afternoon. Then this was the previous night, the beginning of the 14th. But we saw in the Old Testament, and John's Gospel confirms it, that the 15th is the first day of unleavened bread. So why is this calling the 14th the first day of unleavened bread? Well, let's now go over to Mark's account. Mark's account. Let me find it. And we'll come back and we'll clear up the issue in just a little while. In Mark chapter 13, chapter 14, we read pretty much the same thing. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, What do you mean when they killed the Passover? They didn't kill it on the first day, did they? They killed it on the 14th. And the feast of the Passover, what we call the night to be much observed, which is this evening, it continued into the 15th. But here he says, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" So you see why people have a struggle with this? Here the language in the New Testament is, and we've had many letters over the years, people saying, "What is this? Here they're about to eat the Passover, and it's on the first day of unleavened bread." And then there's Luke's account. Let's look at that one. In Luke chapter 22. And beginning in verse 14, it says, "When the hour had come," well, actually back up to verse 7, "then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed." This could be translated, "then came near." In other words, that first day that this caused, the day of unleavened bread, was near. The day that they killed the Passover drew near. And obviously this was during the 13th as the 14th was approaching, because in the afternoon of the 14th is when they killed the Passover. And then verse 14 says, "When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, 'With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" So what's going on here? And why the confusion? Well, actually, it's a pretty simple matter, really. And the truth is, and the answer, I believe, is reflected in some of the material that was prepared by Alfred Edersheim, a Jewish scholar who had become a Christian. And in his book, The Temple, Its Ministry and Services, he tells us something about what went on the 14th. And maybe this will give us some clue as to why the 14th here is referred to as the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He says, "If the leaven had not been removed on the evening of the 13th, it might still be done on the forenoon of the 14th of Nisan." So keep this in mind. The 14th was the last chance the people had to get rid of the leavening. And obviously they were also already preparing unleavened bread at that time. He goes on to say, "Early on the forenoon of the 14th of Nisan, the feast of the Passover may be said to have begun. In Galilee, no work was done all that day." We're talking about the 14th now, not the 15th. 15th is the high day. "In Judea, it was continued till midday." So you could work, if you lived in Jerusalem, in Judea, you could work until midday. And then you had to stop working. If you had something pressing, you could continue to work. But the main thing here is that you couldn't start any new jobs. You had to finish up your work and be ready, because the Passover offering was going to be taking place at about 3 p.m. or so. It says, "Even earlier than midday on the 14th, it was no longer lawful to eat leaven. The strictest opinion fixes 10 o'clock at the latest hour when leaven might be eaten. The more lax, 11. From that hour to 12 o'clock, it was required to abstain from leaven, while at 12, it was to be solemnly destroyed, either by burning, immersing it in water, or scattering it to the winds." And then he goes on to describe some other things. He says, "Already the evening sacrifice had been offered." Now he's talking about when they were about to offer the sacrifice of the Passover. It says the evening sacrifice, that daily evening sacrifice, they had two a day, morning and evening. It said they had already offered it before they offered the Passover. It says ordinarily it was slain at 2:30 p.m. and offered at about 3:30. Now this is interesting here, because the sacrifice in the Old Testament is called the evening sacrifice, and the morning and the evening was offered in the afternoon. That tells us something about what they thought of as evening, doesn't it? The sun was still in the sky. It was approaching the horizon, but it was still visible. But on the eve of the Passover, as we have seen, it was killed an hour earlier. So the regular daily evening sacrifice was killed earlier on Passover. And if the 14th of Nisan fell on a Friday, or rather from Thursday at eve to Friday at eve, 2 hours earlier. So they backed up the evening sacrifice up close, pretty close to noon, so as to avoid any needless breach of the Sabbath. It says it was done on this wise. The first of the three festive divisions with their paschal lambs was admitted within the court of the priests. Each division must consist of not less than 30 persons. Immediately the massive gates were closed behind them. The priests drew a threefold blast from their silver trumpets when the Passover was slain. Altogether, the scene was most impressive. All along the court, up to the altar of burnt offerings, priests stood in two rows, the one holding golden, the other silver bowls. In these, the blood of the paschal lambs, which each Israelite slew for himself as representative of his community or his company at the paschal supper, was caught up by a priest who handed it to his colleague, receiving back an empty bowl. And so the bowls with the blood were passed up to the priest at the altar, who jerked it in one jet at the base of the altar. So this blood, these bowls of blood were going, and they were throwing it at the base of the altar. While this was going on, a most solemn hymn of praise was raised, the Levites leading in song, and the offerers either repeating after them or merely responding. So here you can see the scene, the trumpets blast, announcing the sacrifice of the first lambs, and these lambs keep coming through and keep coming through as each individual brings his lamb and offers it as a sacrifice, and the blood keeps pouring and pouring while this song of praise is going on. So you can kind of envision what this is all about, and certainly I think if we could go back in time and actually see it happening and knowing what it all signifies and who it points to and the redemptive work that he offered, then I think it would have so much meaning for us that we would be overwhelmed, undoubtedly, with emotion. Well, he goes on to describe many other things. I won't read any further. Very interesting items, things that were done in ancient times when the temple was still standing and when the sacrifices were still going on. But you can see from that account that the 14th day was considered a very, very important part of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It was not the first high day, but it was considered the first day of the eight-day feast by this time. Josephus actually calls the Feast of Unleavened Bread an eight-day festival. Is that violating what Scripture said? No. It's because the day of preparation was so important. And when the Passover was centralized, unlike the way it was observed in Egypt, then that day became all the more important. Because all the leavening was finally destroyed, all the preparation of the Passover took place. So really the 14th was considered the first day of the Festival of Unleavened Bread. The first high day was on the 15th. And so that answers our questions here when we look at the Gospels and then we compare with the Old Testament and with John's Gospel. There's not a problem. The first day of Unleavened Bread was the 14th. The 15th was the first high day of unleavened bread. So it's important to take into consideration this evolution of language. We call it etymology. Languages, as we go through time and through various and different circumstances, take on new meanings. And that's what's happening here. Now, there's still a problem. There's still a problem. Let's go back to Matthew's account once again and see what we can read. Let me describe the problem. And this is in, let's read this portion that I read a while ago, part of it anyway. It says, on verse 17, now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? The Passover. And he said, go into a city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So he's going to eat the Passover. He's going to keep the Passover. Verse 19, so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Notice these expressions here. Eat the Passover, keep the Passover, prepared the Passover. What were they going to do? Was it the Passover or not the Passover? But you see, the problem here is that we know, as I've already stated, the Passover was offered the next night. So what is the solution here? And you can read Mark's and Luke's account and you still have the same problem. What is the solution here? Well, several solutions have been offered. And I'll offer one or two of them myself. And I had them listed in my notes. Sorry. Maybe I can remember most of them. Solution number one. Some have suggested that they had an early Passover that year. That they went out, killed a lamb, prepared the lamb, Jesus came, got with his disciples, they ate the Passover lamb that night. It was an early 14th Passover. It was not what the rest of the Jews were doing. And in support of that, some would say, well, Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus was perfect. Jesus kept the law perfectly, therefore he was right and all those Jews were wrong. And for further support of that, some have argued that there were a few Jewish sectarians who did apparently observe an early 14th Passover. Some say that the Sadducees did, but I've never found any evidence to that effect. They did observe a Sunday Pentecost, that's for sure. But I've never found any evidence that the Sadducees had any difference on the observance of the Passover than the rest of the Jewish community did, the Pharisees and the others. So that's one possible solution, is that they had an early Passover, the lamb, I mean. They killed the lamb early. A second solution, and that is that it was a seasonal meal. And it just calls it the Passover because of its association with, well, it was the first meal of this eight-day festival. And therefore, it was a Passover meal. And some translators even insert the word meal because they feel, apparently, that meal is implied, a Passover or seasonal meal. So when he said, I wish to keep the Passover with you, he was talking about not the sacrificial lamb, but the seasonal meal. That's a possibility. There are at least a couple of other possibilities, and I can't think of them all right now. But one other possibility that I would like to, well, two other, one especially I want to mention. And it's the one that I tend to lean toward somewhat. And that is that he wasn't really saying that he was going to eat the Passover, meaning the lamb, that night. What he was calling, that in fact he was referring to what was going to happen the next night. Let's see if we can get inside the minds of the disciples for a moment. It is possible that it could be taken this way. When he said, well, let's look at Luke's account again in Luke 22. Said, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Verse 15, then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, is it possible that maybe he was talking about what all the other Jews would be doing tomorrow night? Tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night? It's possible. For I say unto you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This can be taken two ways. It could mean that this will be my last one until the kingdom of God. Or it could mean that I won't have another one. It's it. I've had my last one. It was last year. Could mean that. And so it could be, this whole section could be taken to mean, very simply, that the disciples, when they came to Jesus, said, where do you want us to prepare for the Passover? And he told them, he gave them directions, that they had in mind what was going to take place the next night. Okay? That makes sense, doesn't it? And then there's a problem with that, though, that some people would point out. And that is, well, first of all, it did occur to me what another of at least four different views would be. And that is, some say when Jesus sat down with his disciples and said, with desire to eat this Passover, that he wasn't talking about the meal that took place that night at all. He wasn't talking about a seasonal meal. He was talking about only the bread and the wine that he would give them. Now, the problem I have with that is when you go back to Matthew's account and look at it, it talks about eating the Passover, preparing the Passover, and then it says, when evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now, as they were eating, what were they eating? You know, they were eating whatever that meal was that night. But it's very difficult for me to see how he was talking exclusively about the bread and the wine. But here is another problem, and it's back in Matthew's account. And the account is not so much with what Matthew says as it is with the way we interpret it. In Matthew chapter 26, again, and in verse 18, and he said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. Now, some would say if he was talking about what's going to happen the following night and not that night, then he must have been lying here. Is he lying when he says, I will keep the Passover in your house? Because, in fact, he's not going to keep it? Well, in reality, you know, he did keep it, whether he had a lamb or not. Whether he was talking about the bread and the wine or not, he kept the Passover that night. You know why? You know what this, I believe this means? Remember a while ago I said that it's important to approach the Gospels with the understanding that they do tend to use theological, that they're inserting theological lessons along the way. They deliberately arrange their material in such a way as to make theological statements. And so when Jesus says, "I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples," I think we should realize what it means to keep the Passover. For in ancient times, keeping the Passover was not merely sitting down and eating that lamb. It was also the preparation of the lamb. That was part of keeping the Passover. The preparation that began days earlier, and especially the preparation of the last day, the 14th. The Lamb of God was being prepared for the slaughter that night. As soon as Judas left the room, he began keeping the Passover in the sense that he was the Passover, the Lamb being prepared to be killed. So did he keep the Passover that night? You bet he did. He continued to keep it. He continued to, the preparation for the killing of the Lamb of God continued when the mob came for him. It actually continued with his with the agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when the mob arrived, when they took him away, it continued with his scourging. It continued when they put the crown of thorns on his head. It continued when they spat upon him and ridiculed him and mocked him. And it continued as he carried his stake to the place of execution. And it continued right on down to the time that they put him to death. That was the preparation and then the final offering of the Lamb of God as the Passover. And then finally, as he was dying, he said, "It is finished." What was finished? The offering of the Passover, the true Passover sacrifice. It was finished. It had been offered. And now then we look forward to the time when he will come again and give us all those things that his sacrifice makes available to us, primarily eternal life in the everlasting kingdom of God. So in the meantime, as we think about some of these things and look at the scriptures and realize that from the Old Testament to the New, there are a lot of time passed, a lot of circumstances changed, and the language changed somewhat, but these things can be reconciled. The use of language may have changed, but the concepts are still there. And that what it all boils down to is the fact that we now have the ultimate Lamb of God having been offered. As the Apostle Paul says, "Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast."
Thank you for listening to this cassette tape of the Church of God International. Feel free to contact us with any additional literature or tape request at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710, or call 903-825-2525, or email us at armorofgod@email.com. Thank you.